Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bound Podcast. This is a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel Jumper and Comics Dungeon. My name is Ben. With me, as always, is Nicole Lamb.
Hello.
Cole Hornaday.
I am my own pod person.
And Chris Casso.
I got nothing.
All righty. And, well, how is everybody this hot evening?
Smoky. Briny.
Still smoky.
Not
here.
Briny. I'm holding up better than that, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, one thing I tried to do is I have not seen a lot of the MCU movies. I think up until about a week, not 2 weeks ago, the only MCU movies I'd seen were Iron Man, The Avengers, and Captain America: Civil War. So I'm like, I got a lot of catching up to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically just started at the top. I watched Iron Man for the second time. And then and then the next movie in the MCU was The Hulk, mm-hmm. which was Edward Norton's movie. I'm like, well, I can skip that one. And then I think, did I watch another one? What came after that? It was supposed to be
Iron Man 2.
Was it Iron Man 2? I don't think I've seen it. I think I stopped. I ran out of gas. So.
Yeah. Iron Man 2 sounds
Thor.
Right.
Thor.
Thor? Yeah, I didn't watch Thor. Oh, also because it wasn't available in any of the streaming services that I pay for, so I would have to buy it off iTunes or something. So, but anyway, speaking of the MCU.
That project ended quick.
It did end quick.
Yeah,
well, once I
petered out really fast.
I know. I didn't commit very well, but I did enjoy watching Iron Man again for the first time in 8-9 years. But it got me thinking, and I think we mentioned this in a previous episode about the epicness of the MCU and how far can it go?
Right.
Like when every single movie is like the movie, the battle to end all battles. How do they? Because they've programmed their movies up through like 2025, something absurd like that. Mm-hmm. I was going to say 2020, but 2020 doesn't seem like it's too far away
these
days.
It's not very far away.
Where do they go, though?
What do you go after Thanos?
Yeah, I think you just have to switch your tone. Instead of going with epicness, you have to take a different turn because people, you know, are already getting fatigued with it.
Which is why I'm excited about the Black Panther movie.
Right.
Because I think the scope of that is going to be something a little bit different. If it's more along the lines with the Coates comic book, you know, it'll be maybe even a more of a Game of Thrones style. It contained political action adventure story, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could scale back, and you could finally get your Black Widow movie.
You could maybe focus more on character.
Do your spy espionage level. Do your Winter Soldier movie.
Yeah,
and then you can throw in your guys like Moon Knight and all that.
Exactly.
Sure.
And then if you have, take some risks.
And if you haven't killed your franchise by that point, you can go back to your epics by 2030.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they had hinted at creating a new Avengers team as well. So I don't know where they're going to go with that, but that could be interesting because then there could be more focus on characters that have just been in the movies as well.
You mean like Great Lakes Avengers?
Hmm. No, like New Avengers.
Oh. I mean like West Coast Avengers?
How many Avengers are there?
So many.
There's a lot.
There's too many. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just talking about in the MCU, they've already planted that seed. So
the Emerald City Avengers?
Dear Lord. You are sucking my energy.
I'm like trying your patience.
Is that even a thing? The Emerald City Avengers?
I'll direct my energy toward Chris
But
now.
He does. But no. Save yourself, Chris. I love you. No, but Cole does make a good point that there are a lot of Avengers teams in the comics.
Don't make that sound around me.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was the void in my soul drawing you in.
So there is a lot of directions they could go. Do you have some ideas, Chris?
What I would imagine has to happen is that he could only pay some of these guys to appear as Iron Man and Captain America so many more times that you're going to have to start investing in young actors, and they already are. They've already hired a Squirrel Girl, but time to get a Kamala Khan going, and time to get in a few of the, you know, you could go with a young Nova. You can start getting
champions.
That's interesting. Do you think that's sort of part of the strategy of like the new champions and the totally awesome Hulk, and that it's skewing younger? The principal characters of the printed Marvel universe are skewing younger.
Yeah, especially if you have a young Peter Parker now, then you can get a bunch of other people that are going to skew towards that late teens, early 20s, and you can even invent a couple, but otherwise. I think they're going to, by necessity, going to have to not recast existing characters, just cast new characters.
Lineage, more legacy sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like at the point of like, maybe Chris Evans' contract will run out. I think it is going to run out around right after Infinity War. And maybe it's time you get Sam Wilson as Captain America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know,
it's been established.
New Avengers team, maybe have him step up.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you could get a generational push being the next 20 years.
That's a really intriguing idea.
And then they can always have like, oh, here's the event for phase seven. then you know, maybe these young Avengers, whoever can't or are having trouble, and it's like, oh, look, there's Robert Downey Jr., guest appearance, one movie,
right?
You know,
cameo,
something
whatever.
Like that.
Yeah.
Old man Iron Man showing up.
Old man Iron Man.
He can only move because of the suit.
Rust Man.
The alternative could be maybe by then they will be able to work with Fox or Sony or get back some of these properties, and phase 235 will be Galactus, you know, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it could be building towards a parallel set of threats of, like, we're going to move from this buildup of Thanos and get into the world of the X-Men. You know?
And I just think that doing another cosmic thing could be bad, so they'll need to have some sort of stopgap in there, and whether that's legacy or whether that's just doing different stories that are more land-based.
See, I like the way you guys are thinking, because to my mind, it's after a certain point in time, the whole genre is just going to collapse in on itself, and we're going to need something entirely new to feed our entertainment fires. You've actually done some more lateral thinking about what would be plausible. You guys think like creative corporate types. It's kind of spooky.
I mean, why do you think they're spending so much money making sure everybody knows who all these characters are right now, since they're on every single lineup? You know,
And
they're cultivating a lot of TV shows to be able to do a lot of peripheral stuff.
Right.
I don't know how successful they truly are in actually executing them well and keeping the interest, but they are putting a lot of different things out there, so they could build something different in the universes.
Think about it. Like, give it another 5 years, and they can cut another deal with Fox, and X-23 can show up in full Wolverine outfit like she is now in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be really cool.
And she could jump in there, and you can have some sort of crossover. Yeah.
Maybe I can finally get someone to buy my X-23 comics.
Well, there was mention in the cinematic universe of a potential Miles, very, very subtle.
Yeah.
But at this point, if Peter is in high school, then Miles is younger.
Right.
So we could see in a new phase, they could cut another deal and do a Miles movie. I know they're doing an animation, but I really want to see him live action.
Yeah.
That would make my life. Like, Black Panther's going to make my life after that. It's over, so I need something else.
Yes, yes.
Please come back, Miles.
Yeah. You'll need a cardiac shock.
Yeah. I mean, then if they did a Ms. Marvel, I mean, that'd be great, because I think she'd be great. But I don't know if they would do a cinematic or they would do a TV show or something like that. So
yeah, that'd be the interesting thing. I mean, we'll see how the Inhumans do. And if they can pull that off, then that gives them a whole extra branch of things to play around with.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well, that'd be the network TV branch, and then it's the Netflix branch, and then there's the MCU.
Yeah.
Just sort of a sidebar. Is Netflix going to shoot itself in the foot by buying up all these Mark Millar properties?
Well, do you know why they're probably really doing that?
Because Marvel's going to be pulling out?
Yeah. Oh,
that's too bad.
They're checking in. They're making sure they have an investment somewhere.
Is that so? Marvel's going to pull out of its Netflix?
We don't know that 100%. Well, we know that Disney's pulling out of Netflix.
Right.
We'll assume that means Marvel properties. Yeah, it's probably a safe assumption.
That's Disney's setting up their own streaming service.
That's adapting
those
bloody, violent, vicious Mark Millar stories.
Yeah, but Netflix has plenty of dark material, too.
But that are superhero related, though, comic book related.
And actually, not all the Mark Millar stuff is that way now.
Yeah, that's true.
The last four or five projects.
He has some wholesome things.
Yeah.
What did they? I didn't see the specifics on what they got. Did they get?
Yeah, I don't, they got Millar World, which I just assume means anything he's published.
It means Kick-Ass. It means Nemesis.
They did not. Kick-Ass was not part of it. I read.
Okay, yeah. MPH.
I don't know about that.
Probably have MPH. They probably have the Stardust.
Superior. Not Stardust.
Starlight.
Starlight. They probably have Superior. They probably have. What's the one about the young guy who's supposed to be like a nice Superman?
Huck.
They probably got Huck. Huck would be a perfect.
Huck would be great. Okay. I think Starlight could make a good one. I
was thinking about Nemesis. Yeah. Nemesis was just so vicious.
Yeah, and I hope they never touch that. Yeah. But,
you never know.
You never know.
Yeah. So they could do some good things with this stuff.
Yeah. I hadn't put that together that Marvel's owned by Disney and Disney's pulling off of Netflix.
Yeah.
So yeah, your.
I can't watch Moana anymore.
Oh, I know Moana's so good.
It is.
You can get your own copy.
Okay, fine.
Whatever.
Don't whatever me.
So I wonder if the Defenders is going to be like the end game for Netflix's involvement with
the Marvel
universe.
Yeah, that's kind of a depressing notion because they were building such a cool universe there.
Yeah.
You know.
I wonder if maybe there's a contractual thing going on where they won't have to pull out the Defender stuff. I imagine there's got to be some long-term contracts at play there.
Yeah.
I think we're just talking about the lineup of shows that are just kind of, you know, been around for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe we get to keep that part of Marvel on Netflix. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe I was thinking about this in terms of like the because when I think of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I only think of the movies. I don't take into account any of the TV shows or any of the Netflix shows. It's all included,
yeah,
of course. But I think, yeah, maybe that's what we're going towards because there was this idea that like movies were considered the high art and TV shows were considered the low art. But now that has really switched.
The model's changing.
The model is changing, and so. Maybe the way Marvel sustains itself is by making more kick-ass TV shows without, of course, kick-ass.
Well, and it goes back to scope, though. What we were talking about earlier is that I find the scope of the Netflix series in a lot of ways far more enjoyable to watch than the big epic stories. And that's what I'm thinking if they're going to somehow preserve the integrity of the Marvel MCU, of the MCU rather, that they start looking at that kind of scope. Because Iron Fist aside, the other ones have been a tremendous success in my mind, and it's because of the scope of the stories. It's the ensembles are tighter, the stories are more involved dramatically,
budgets more controllable.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
So.
Yeah,
and you don't have to have this epic budget to tell an epic story.
Yeah,
right.
See, that's Ms. Marvel would be perfect as that kind of format,
absolutely.
And I think they need to experiment and drop the number of episodes. A season could just be six
and
episodes.
And they already have because Defenders is going to be shorter.
Exactly, yeah.
They're going to tighten it up.
You know, stuff like that. The Robbie character who is the Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like you could give him his own, you know, four-episode run.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just kind of establish these new younger characters slowly that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing Cloak and Dagger on the Disney Teeny Bopper channel.
Yeah.
Is that the channel? I couldn't figure out what channel.
Yeah, it's like a streaming Disney kids, not kids, but like young adult.
I thought it was like it was what ABC Family used to be or something.
Oh,
it was.
Okay.
I didn't know if it,
but it
maybe
is a
that's
streaming,
a different show.
It is a streaming service.
It is a streaming service, but they were like rebranded. Or,
but the
I
show
don't know.
None of us have access to is Legion, and I saw the pilot for that and thought that was fascinating.
Mm. I've heard good things about that one.
You know, and people keep asking me, and I don't even know what it's on.
Is it FX?
It's hard.
It's FX. Yeah, which. You used to be able to get on cable for free, but you can't anymore.
It's so difficult,
it's
I think, to watch things now because a lot of people don't have cable, and now you have to buy into all these different streaming services, and there's
new
ones popping
money when
up.
You do it.
And
gosh, if only there was a service that collected all the channels.
There used to be.
You mean the one that's choking the life out of our city? Oh, that's a great idea.
Anyway. Yes. That was really great. That was a lot of good ideas on how Marvel executives, Disney, if you're listening, this is how you sustain your properties for the foreseeable future. Because there may come a time when that genre, as Cole said, just kind of implodes upon itself.
Right.
Because it's played out.
They really should be talking to us and about a bajillion other fans who have the same kind of conversations around big mic phones.
Well, you know, social media does play a role in some of the directions that people do go in, yep. so it can make a yep. difference. Yeah.
Speaking of the MCU and the DCEU and any other U's out there, are there any comics that haven't been made into movies or TV shows that you would like to see made into movies or TV shows? I'm just going
to
go ahead and say
Valiant is trying to
they're trying to get into
on that
they
market.
Are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they the could make some huge. Cool things. They have
very
really cool things.
The interesting one that's going to be happening is Dave Bautista's making the Wrath of the Eternal Warrior.
Really,
he might.
Bautista or? Is
Bautista.
Gonna,
I don't know if he's. I don't know if he's making it or if he's making it and is in it.
He's not really a physical
I
type.
I kind of hope he's not.
Yeah, he's a little bit bigger than I imagined.
He's a big brute, and like he does good as Drax, but he's not a good actor.
Maybe he's
a bad guy.
He had
to play to his strength.
Yeah, but anyway, he's pushing it. It's a big name.
It could be really cool.
Yeah.
It could be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Valiant Universe, it's a cool universe. It's got a lot of great characters in it. It's just not one that I've invested a lot of time in since the 90s.
I like a lot of their supernatural things. Like I said, the Rapture stuff and Wrath of Eternal Warrior and stuff. But Ben, you were going to go right into something, I know.
Well, what I was going to say, and I think I've changed my mind because as I was thinking about it, I was like, one of my favorite series is God Hates Astronauts. But one of the best parts about that is the visual comedy of the show. And I have no idea if that would translate.
But think about Scott Pilgrim. They did a good job on some of that. And in fact, I think they almost made it better in some ways. And you could do something, maybe animated might be the better way to go.
Animated might be the better way to go for
Because you could kind of BoJack Horseman or something. I don't know, but like super zany.
Love
you
me
know?
Some BoJack.
Mm-hmm. It could fit in with a lot of different things like Adult Swim or a Netflix title.
See, I love an animated version of Kaiju Max.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That'd be that would have to be a late night Cartoon Network.
It absolutely would.
Yeah. Adult Swim.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what could go be good, like live action. Like
Rat Queens could be kind of a fun, weird
thing. They could potentially do. Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that you could more easily translate.
Wicked and Divine.
Wicked and Divine could work really well.
That's already been optioned, hasn't it?
Probably.
Well, it's the criminal, Criminal Minds, Milk, something
that,
with Milk.
The whole production thing between Fraction and Deconic that no one's ever talked about since our last
Fraction, and it's like Universal TV. So these things might happen. And what about something like Mercury Heat? Because that could be kind of an interesting sci-fi thing. I mean,
that'd
that could translate well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a sci-fi tale.
It's a really weird sci-fi tale.
Yeah, but it's got a female protagonist and she just don't give no Fs.
No,
and it's pretty great.
And Black got optioned.
Yeah, that got options. So we'll see.
Which
that.
I think is kind of cool.
Would that be a TV show or?
Well, I don't. I'm not.
Movie?
I was a little unclear from the article whether it was going to be a film or a miniseries. I think it might be a series because they talked about how the series wrapped up with the sixth issue, and I got the impression that they were gearing up for another series to sort of help build the universe further for whatever the property is going to be. I've only made it to the fourth issue of Black. I like it for what it is. I'm just not sure that it works for me, but I want to get all the way through the series and see. But that doesn't mean I'm not intrigued by the fact that
you could get behind like the concepts, but like it might not maybe make superheroes kind of hard, and alt superhero can be kind of hard. So you kind of have to have another message maybe that makes it fresh.
It's a challenging message. I mean, the idea that Black people are the only beings with superpowers and the white culture has been keeping that hidden from the world for generations. That metaphor is
like
just so, that metaphor is just
part,
so crisp and clear right there. It's like Get Out metaphor hardcore.
Oof.
It's like that. It's like that strong. It's like you can't miss what they're trying to say.
I think they could make a good movie out of like Kim and Kim. It's like, almost like a sci-fi bounty hunter gem in the holograms to me in a way, because it's
and We Can Never Go Home, I think, could be
the Black Mask one as well. That could work. That could work maybe as a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the Image stuff that's like easy sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah.
That I think it's ready to go. Birthright, it would be a great modern fantasy one.
Mm-hmm. Drifter. Rumble.
Drifter would be an amazing. Drifter's
kind of
like.
Kind of is sort of cinematic in its way.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little Twin Peaksy, but a little more coherent, but mm-hmm. in space. Mm-hmm. There's Southern Cross would be a great sci-fi one.
Yeah.
What about East of West?
Yeah,
I think
that would be a very interesting.
That could be like an HBO
or anything
or something.
Hickman. Yeah. East of West, you know.
Because that I Black see Monday kind Murders. Of like in the Game of Thrones vein, where it's very it translates well to live action, but mm-hmm. in that sort of sci-fi fantasy.
You said anything Hickman, but I don't think Manhattan Project.
I was
going
to say no. I agree.
No, because you'd have to make so many like weird things.
I think that would be better animated.
Yeah. And animation would be way easier to execute.
I was going to actually review Manhattan Projects, but I want to get to the most recent book before I talk about it. But sidebar.
Give me a hint when you do that, because
you want to team up?
Tag team up, because I love that series.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with Nicole, because in rereading all the Manhattan Projects, what struck me is that, you know, sometimes reading Manhattan Projects is kind of like looking at a Where's Waldo book.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
you know, maybe that's why I like it. I used to love Where's Waldo.
Happening in these, and you pull these up. There's aliens. There's blood. There's heads flying. This, you know.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, yeah.
There's multiple Oppenheimers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you recall. This was a while ago. I didn't like it when I originally read it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I did not care for it. But I decided that I'm rediscovering Hickman, so I'm like, I need to give Manhattan Projects another chance. And I've read up to the fifth collection.
Mm-hmm, there's a sixth
and just
one.
Mm-hmm. Totally hooked. Yeah. Think just having the best time with
that. That's one that doesn't, like, people who like Hickman might not like Manhattan Projects. I find that's one that doesn't hit.
But it's got that alt history thing to
it.
It. And
it does.
And that's kind of hip right now.
Yeah.
And it might work as an animated series, but it also just like an off the foot off. Whoops, almost said.
Off the foot.
Off the foot
and
there was the other
wall
word wanted
parkour.
To come out there. Just this off the hook, you know, Mondo Bizarro series.
It's very zany.
Yeah, it's super
zany.
But we have the technology, and we're getting closer and closer to the technology to easily adapt that type of really, really busy imagery.
Mm-hmm.
We can rebuild it. Yeah.
Yes.
I kind of would like to see Squarriors as an animated piece.
Oh, that could be really cool.
Because Squarriors, if you're not familiar, it's like the darker version of Secret of NIMH. Mm. And if you've seen Secret of NIMH,
Secret of NIMH is pretty dark.
Yeah. Oh, Secret of NIMH is great.
Yeah, this is the post-apocalyptic version of Secret of NIMH.
They're rats and mice.
Yep, squirrels.
Okay,
where the tractor actually does mow over the home.
Oh,
yeah, pretty much. I think the one thing I would utterly love the most is the series that I'm obsessed with right now, Berserk, because it exists in like four different versions, and only one of those versions is the truest. And then like the one that I learned about the whole thing is the TV series that I lent Nicole,
mm-hmm.
and it's really good, but it's missing a lot. And so now there's been movies that infuriate me, and then there's a TV series I just found out that exists, and apparently it's the worst animated thing in the history of
like
mankind.
The actual animation is terrible.
It's like utterly horrible, and people cannot stand it.
Huh.
So I would kill for a well designed ongoing Game of Thrones style Berserk series, because it's one of the best horror stories I've ever read. That's also like dark medieval fantasy.
Cool.
And that would make me happy.
So apparently we have a lot of things.
I know. I was just going to say,
I'm surprised,
wrap this
actually.
Up. Is,
yeah.
Do we have any final thoughts? I liked Lock and Key.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. There was a pilot for that.
Yeah.
There's a pilot?
Yeah. There's
already?
There's a hidden pilot. No, it was made like years ago, like 2 to 3 years ago almost.
Really?
And it's been buried because the studio's like, meh, we don't want to do it. It stars the guy who played the Yellow Bastard in Sin City.
Yeah,
He plays the uncle, and then like the woman in the well is played by somebody from that Canadian show Lost Girl.
Okay,
so like they actually had a bunch of actors, and they did a full pilot, but like apparently MTV or whoever was like, "Meh, we take it back. We don't want to do this."
Nickel's on YouTube.
Well,
you could probably find a good chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Cool.
Oh, no, that's me itching myself. Sorry, okay. Chris. I thought I was motioning to him.
Any other final properties you want to see made into movies or TV shows or video games or other comics?
I want to see a movie for Nosferatu and The Wraith, the Joe Hill books.
Oh, The Wraith?
Books. Yeah. Nosferatu spelled with a license plate, NOS42. A2. I think that would be fantastic.
What about The Wraith as like a point and click adventure game?
Yes. I'll take it.
That could be kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Cool. Well, let's move on to Book Report, everybody. And Cole Hornaday, let's start with you.
Well, this is going to go back. We're going to dovetail back onto the earlier conversation about epic Marvel movies because I, as you may recall from months and months ago, am in the process of cleaning house. I am cleaning out all my...
Still, that was only supposed to be a one-weekend project.
There's a lot of boxes.
But then I actually said that it's going to just be an ongoing project. Yes. So I dug out my old Infinity Gauntlets in anticipation of the coming film. So, you know, the original Infinity Gauntlet was actually the second part. Originally came out in... Infinity Gauntlet was a 6-issue limited series written by... Jim Starlin, and initially drawn by George Perez and inked by Joseph Rubinstein, was all of a great combination. But it followed the Thanos quest, right? Yes, where Thanos goes and gets all of the gems from what they don't call them the Eternals. They get them from they call them the Elders,
the Elders of the universe.
Right. So it's like the In-Betweener and the Gardener and the Collector,
the Beyond.
Who is the fighting
the
guy?
Game Master.
The Game Master.
The Champion or something?
Champion. Yeah. Champion.
So, mm-hmm. And these are all very, very, well, some of these characters go back to the early ages of, like, the early cosmic Marvel characters that you know, that Starlin helped originate with Warlock and all those cool characters. So I read the entire 6-issue series kind of in anticipation of what that film was going to look like when we get to see it, or actually the two films. And what I forgot is that, you know, throughout the 90s, Marvel was just the House of Infinity. Because there was Infinity Gauntlet, there was, after this comes Infinity War, which is going to be a bit confusing because I'm not sure which stories they're borrowing from for the movie.
I think they're borrowing a lot from Infinity, the one you reviewed an episode ago, because they're bringing the Children of Thanos, the Ebony Maw and all those guys.
Okay, right. Yep, because I did see all the statues for that from, it wasn't San Diego Con, it was...
San Diego was the release of, you saw Proxima Midnight.
But this is also, this series came out on the heels of the big epic crossover comics, and the one artist that was really, made his career on cramming as many characters into a comic book as possible was George Perez, because he did it so darn well, starting with the Crisis on Infinite Earths over at DC. At 12 issues, we crammed every bloody character from the DC universe into this comic book, and I think that's kind of what they were trying to do. Well, at least they wanted to have a very, very busy comic book with Infinity Gauntlet. But you know what? It's a product of its time. And sadly, Perez and Rubinstein only drew and inked the first 4 issues. And then we fall to Ron Lim, who is a fine and serviceable artist, but just cannot hold a candle to George Perez.
I like Lim.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay. It's a personal preference.
But it was jarring to go from Perez's artwork to his in this story.
I getcha.
And the other thing I'm not certain that they're going to do with the movie is the whole point of Thanos collecting the Infinity Gems is to appease his paramour, Death. And in the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe, Death is represented by a female character. Now, in the DC Universe, as you know, Neil Gaiman gave us this cute little... gothy chick that, you know, you actually wanted to be friends with Death because she was cool. She wore a little she had a little pretty little round face. You don't want to be friends with the Marvel Universe Death
because she's a skeleton in a cloak.
Yeah, because also she's just really she basically gives Thanos the silent treatment for like
she's
all of the series.
Dry. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just the toxic male in me says she just plays head games with him the whole time, and the more rational male in me says, but you know what, that turkey just brought it all on himself. So I don't think Death is going to figure into the Infinity Gauntlet, the Infinity War stories. Do you?
I'll bet you Hela does.
Yes, I bet you Hela right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo-woo. Okay, so. Oh, come on. Come on.
No, I appreciate that.
You know what? I have no recollection of reading this series back in the early 90s, but I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. And, you know, if you have a chance to get out and get a collection, because I'm sure it's the reprints are abundant everywhere, this is a fun read. But as I said earlier, it is a product of its time. And so all the characters that are featured in the conflict are like, you know, the 90s version of Thor and the 90s version of the Hulk and She-Hulk and characters that we're not going to see in the current MCU because they're just not hip anymore or they've radically changed since this point in time.
I will say it has one of the best Captain America moments in it.
Yeah.
And I hope they translate that into the movie.
I don't recall. Tell me.
It's the part where everybody's dead. Spoilers. Oh. it's an Infinity Gauntlet. You can rewrite reality.
Yep.
As you can guess, they're all alive now. Everybody's dead, and Captain America's the last man standing, and he just walks up to Thanos, and he just stares him and just says, there's always going to be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanos gets ready to squish him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's a moment. That's not great. It's not a fight moment. It's just a Captain America just being like, I don't care.
Yeah. He did his thing.
He doesn't like bullies.
Yep. Yes.
And that's like the perfect Chris Evans moment that happened.
It was a lovely moment. But what happened is that, you know, Marvel became the
definitive infinity.
Yes, they just kept cranking out the Infinity series. After this comes War, then after this was Abyss.
Crusade. And then the Abyss. And then just Infinity.
Right. And they just kept going.
Boy, it seems like it goes on forever.
I know. It does. Unfortunately, they're going to...
We got a lot in this episode.
Yep, they're only going to adapt it for two films, fortunately.
Huh.
I will probably try to get the trades of the other series and read them just because I want to see what gets poached from what for the movies because I'm curious. But this was a fun series, and I do think it's worth going back and revisiting it because not everything from the 90s sucked.
Mm-hmm. Is Thanos Quest actually reprinted in the Gauntlet stuff or in
It's not
else?
In the Gauntlets. They did do a reprint a couple times recently.
Yeah, they did like a fat issue.
They did a fat issue, and I think it snuck into something else too. Okay. So it's out there.
I liked that. I read that story.
It's
that,
really
just
good.
Just the lead up for him getting each gem. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a reason why Thanos is kind of a cool bad guy. He's
a thinking guy.
He's a thinking villain. He's big like a brute, but he plots. But in his plotting out of his game plan, his ego gets in his way every darn time, which is why he doesn't succeed with death.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool. All right, the Infinity Gauntlet. Thank you, Cole.
You're welcome.
And Nicole, what do you want to tell us about?
My spidey senses knows when you're going to pick me now. It'll wear off eventually, and you'll catch me by surprise. So I'm gonna roll with this whole thing that we did with the Cinematic Universe and TV Universe and review the Inhumans, Once and Future Kings. It's a 5-issue series. It's Marvel, though, so I say that with
some trepidation,
because you never know. But this is written by Christopher Priest. As you may know, I like him. He did Black Panther. Artist Phil Noto, who one of the series I read with him was the Black Widow series a couple Black Widows ago, and I really liked that as well. So this is a good pairing, and Chris suggested that I read it. So this is a prequel, if you will. It goes back in time to when Black Bolt and Maximus. I don't know why his name doesn't stay with me. I don't know why. But anyway.
The crazy brother.
They're brothers. Back in time, before, you know, Black Bolt was even with Medusa. There's a plot to kill the current king of Attilion.
Attilion?
Attilion. Adelin.
Adelin.
I'm going to need you guys sometimes because I'm not very familiar with Inhuman stuff, but I've been dabbling a little bit and enjoying what I'm reading. So there's a plot to take out the king by the Alpha Primitives, and there's questions about slavery. Black Bolt speaks through Maximus and challenges the king on some of these things. And Medusa is also being propositioned to marry the king and her stuff, what she's actually said behind closed doors to her family has been recorded pretty much and used against her as blackmail. So there's like all these little setups. I don't think I want to reveal too much more than that, because I did really enjoy this first issue. In fact, I want to go back over it again just because I'm not so familiar with Inhuman stuff and some of the wording and stuff like that. But one thing, just a side note, a Christopher Priestian thing that I enjoyed is he does like these little chapter things in his books where he's like, you know, here's the topic for the next two pages.
Yeah.
I don't know. It tickled me a little bit.
So who's the illustrator? The artwork?
Phil Noto.
Oh,
it's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Artwork. Very painterly. And I really think it's a pretty solid first issue. If you're not familiar with the Inhumans, you know, you might want to like Google a few things or get a little familiar with them or just reread the issue like I'm going to do. But I am actually pretty excited about this.
How does this compare to the Black Bolt?
Oh, and by the way, I have to mention,
there's a baby.
There is a baby Lockjaw within the issue that just shows up.
Oh,
pretty cute.
Oh, puppy Lockjaw.
And it's kind of a strange tonal change, but a pretty cute throwback sort of style issue with Thing and Lockjaw. And it's written by Ryan North, who does Squirrel Girl and who did some Adventure Time comics. And it's just like Thing and Lockjaw playing fetch. And
with a tree trunk.
With a huge tree trunk.
Nice.
So there's a very cute backup issue. And, you know, the Thing says, it's fetching time. It's just cute. It's just cute.
It's worth, noting that there's like 3 to 4 covers with Lockjaw this week and a
yes.
Lockjaw Funko Pop. So Marvel knows.
They know. They know.
They know what's going to save that show.
A big puppy dog. yeah, and all the covers are actually pretty cool, too. So, yeah, I recommend checking out Inhumans Once in Future Kings. It might not be, like, the most reader-friendly, but because it's a prequel, you can, you know, you can latch on to the basic concepts of what's going on. And if nothing else, it's real pretty to look at.
Excellent. Well, I was asking, how's this compared to the Black Bolt series? Have you been following
it? It's also
that?
Very pretty. Yeah, I am following it. I need to catch up because I really only read that first issue.
Me
and there's
too.
Been three or
bummer.
Four out.
No,
I know. Well, we'll play catch up.
Okay.
And maybe we can talk about it next time.
After you reviewed it, I went and got the first issue, and I think it's beautiful. But
it's gorgeous. I like Christian Ward. Christian Ward worked on Odyssey with Fraction over at Image, and I didn't read that because it was the Homer's Odyssey, but like gender bendy. But he did do some fill-in stuff for the Ultimates series that I really enjoy, and so I definitely followed him over there.
Okay.
So yeah, so check out Inhumans, Once in Future Kings, number
Great.
One.
Great. Thank you, Nicole. And Chris Casseau, what do you got for us?
So to stay in line with us talking about movies and stuff, I'm going to review a movie. We were sent a bunch of copies of Officer Down, which is an adaptation of an Image comic by Joe Casey and Chris Burnham. The comic's enjoyable. It's kind of like very Jeff Darrow-esque. There's a cop who can't die. He keeps getting resurrected. His name's Officer Down. And
it's Down with an E.
Down with an E. And it's hyper-violent, and it's just your usual kind of Joe Casey wackiness. So the movie... movie. It hurt me.
Now, let me ask you something, because I'm seeing the tagline and the cover. I want to know if this is from the comic. Crime
never sleeps,
but justice never dies.
I don't remember that from the comic. So it stars Kim Coates, who, if you watch Sons of Anarchy, he's one of the best characters on that show. So I was like, yay, I might like it. It also has like one of the guys from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I'm like, oh, okay, I like this. Every time the movie gave me something I liked, they took it away from me.
I think the pull quote from the Los Angeles Times says it all just for me. If you thought Deadpool was sick, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah. This is directed from some sort of band guy in the rock band. I don't know.
What's band so like guy a, in a rock band.
A music video director directed this movie.
Yeah, and it views like that. There's so many scenes where they made music for this, and it's painful soundtrack to listen to. But yeah, like there's moments like there's a villain called, Zen Master Flash, who's a martial arts assassin. And like his introduction's great. He shows up and he's speaking in like Cantonese and there's subtitles. And at some point he just says, screw these subtitles. And then he's dubbed badly for the rest of the movie on purpose.
Oh, that's
and
it's kind like, of a clever
that's
idea.
Really clever.
Yeah.
But every time it gives you something clever, it takes it away by doing just bad story stuff. Like the guy who's from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is like, oh, he's here. Oh, he's dead. Okay, we're done with that.
that's all I'm more I can afford to use him.
Yeah, exactly. And it's scripted by Joe Casey, which that maybe wasn't a good idea. It's very truthful in adaptation. But the problem is like they didn't really have a budget for the fights. And this is a fight comic. It's a hyper-violent fight comic. And Kim Coates is not a young man. And he just kind of, you get like these really like shaky cam things of him punching people left and right and ninja guys trying to do flips, and you're just sort of like, eh? I've seen better fight choreography on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know? And
well, there's actually people who are like martial artists.
Exactly,
on the show too.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's scenes in here that aren't in the book, and I don't know why they put it other than they got a woman who's, I guess, kind of famous for being a model, so they had to give her a role and whatever. The thing that killed me about it was that there's got to be a term for this. Do you remember in the first Hellboy movie they introduced like the blandest white man who's not a real character so that we have a way of identifying with somebody because they were afraid we couldn't identify with Hellboy? They do the same thing. There's like this bland white guy who comes into the police force and like he gets assigned to the officer down division, which you just go and watch him die and pick up his corpse, which is the job. And he's supposed to be your common point of whatever.
But isn't Officer Down a white guy?
He is. I don't know. So it's just one of those things of like, why do we have to have that guy there, that role? It's really obnoxious.
Point of access white guy?
Yeah, exactly. young white guy, you know. So yeah, there's moments of fun and some intelligent design here and there, but it's overshadowed by the sense of style and some of the low budgetness, even though it did have some of a budget. And some things just don't translate. A group of villains in the book, it's like a mob family where they all have animal heads, but they're actually animal heads. And the special effects for that in this didn't pan out. And you just kind of like, why? This isn't a world full of superheroes. The movie doesn't get that across. The comic does. Mm-hmm. But this thing just like, why are there just some weird random people and monsters? Hmm. Are they monsters? I can't tell. So, yeah, don't watch Officer Down. or don't pay for it.
Alrighty.
Come borrow it from Chris.
Yes.
But only if you have a Blu-ray player.
Yes.
Physical media is so dead. Thank you, Chris. Alright, well that is Book Report and that is our show. And coming up is quiz time. But before we go, I want to tell you that the Perfect Bound Podcast is brought to you by the Panel Jumper. See everything Cole Hornaday and I do at thepaneljumper.com. And by Comic Extension here at 319 Northeast 45th Street in beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicextension.com. Find us online at perfectboundpodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our podcast, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. I don't think you guys have an Instagram. The Panel Jumper does not have an Instagram.
I have an Instagram.
You can just follow Cole's Instagram.
Follow Cole's Instagram.
Just go to Cole Hornaday, because that's basically the Panel Jumper Instagram.
Exactly.
For now.
Email us at perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. Do we talk about something that you disagree with? Tell us. Let us know. Do you like the show? Tell us. Let us know. Do you want to give us quiz time questions? Send them in, because Nicole does not like writing quiz time questions, but I sign them to her anyway.
Yes.
So put your quiz hats on, everybody. It's quiz time. And this week, our questions come to us from Nicole.
What?
Also through my husband.
I need to get me a husband.
Yeah, you need a husband.
We all need to
get
us a husband.
So, fun fact.
Okay.
August 21st is my birthday, which is when this is airing.
Yeah.
It is also...
Is also the eclipse.
First in our... Right. First and last, I think, in our lifetime that we will see the solar eclipse.
Your dark lords are beckoning you.
Yes, they are. They are like, come home, my child. So I... Okay. My husband came up with this line. My quiz has this month's total eclipse at its heart.
Oh,
nice.
So this focuses on either characters that get... their powers from celestial bodies. They get powers from celestial bodies, or these are actual celestial bodies. Mm-hmm. So either location or power set through moons and suns and things like that. All right, so number one, this character's powers are split between an ancient Egyptian god, Khonshu, and the full moon. And their powers include having superhuman strength of 2 tons from the full moon. This is like straight from a handbook, by the way, the Marvel handbook. Or they have visions that are sometimes shown as prophetic dreams. Who is this person?
Moon Knight.
Yes. I don't know if we've had a quiz time with Moon Knight yet, so
we
I just
not.
Threw it in.
He's shown up from time to time.
Yeah. So Egyptian god, moon powers, you got it. All right, the this is a location. So the Kree-Skrull War was the result of a failed test by the Skrull Empire in which the Kree were left for a year to shape their own society on this celestial body. What name the celestial body and the area of said celestial body?
The moon. The moon, the blue area of the moon.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
And speaking of the blue area of the moon, this person resides on this side of the moon, assigned specifically to observe Earth for apparently billions of years. This is also in the handbook. And they are a member of a specific extraterrestrial species. They may be dead right now. Yeah. Who is this person?
The Watchers.
Yeah, the Watchers.
Wow.
So this character has recently become the supreme leader of AIM, the Advanced Idea Mechanics, and their power set includes being able to absorb solar energy to be metabolized and used in various ways. Originally, they needed direct sunlight for their powers to work, but alas, no more. They have matured. Who is this talented businessman, confident leader, and Olympic-level athlete?
Robert DaCosta, Sunspot.
Oh, Sunspot.
Yes.
Wow.
He's got a lot of things on his resume.
He does.
He's a very busy guy.
It's also a new mutant.
Yeah. This character is a sentient celestial body themselves, able to manipulate their mass in a number of ways, manifesting giant tentacles and even creating non-sentient life forms on their surface. If there's an unwanted visitor, they are able to generate antibodies, humanoid creations designed to eliminate foreign matter.
I always get confused. Is it Eon or Ego?
Ego.
It is
Ego.
Okay.
Yeah. Also
Eon
known as Kurt Russell.
Was
this like the weird squiddy thing that like?
But weren't they related somehow?
I don't think so.
Okay.
By the way, I got this information from the like Guardians of the Galaxy like travel guide that Marvel came out with, and there's like little side notes from like Gamora and Rocket and stuff like that. It's pretty fun to make quiz time from.
Alternate.
By the way.
Alternate title could have been if I told you had a nice celestial body.
Oh, would you hold it against me?
Yes.
Nice.
You guys.
All right, well, that's quiz time. Thank you, Nicole. That is our show, and we will see you next week.
Sorry, not sorry.